The theme of water has been going through our music and our prayer time today. I also want you to know that I've forgotten to turn my watch back, or forward, I guess. So by my watch, it's about 8:08. And that means I have a long time to preach. Not to worry. In one church I served, the baptistry was down into the floor, and this church immersed people during baptism. And above the blue pool was a skylight. And hung inside the skylight, hanging right at eye level, was a stained glass mobile. And there were several wires with white doves that were descending from the heavens. On the central wire was a blue stained glass cross. And a picture of this mobile and the quilt that I made behind it are shown in your bulletin. I like to explain the mobile to the children when I taught their pastor's class as I read the story of Jesus' baptism in the Gospel of Mark. So listen now to that beautiful story written by the gospel writer. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he came up out of the water, he saw the heavens part, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove on him. And a voice came out of heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." So during the pastor's class, I told the children that when they were baptized and they came up out of the water, the artistic mobile was a reminder that they too were beloved children of God and that God was well pleased with them. Well, here we are on the journey of places and prayers through our Lenten season, and my plan was to speak about various biblical metaphorical places each week, but this week that plan just didn't resonate in my spirit. And so as I was searching in my mind and in my heart for what I wanted to talk about today, I read an article in Sojourners magazine about wilderness and personal identity. And it impacted me in such a way that I wanted to share those thoughts with you. So there is no sermon today on Armageddon, as we planned. Instead, our place today is wilderness. And I use this wilderness metaphor as a discussion about Jesus' baptism. If I were to ask you about your identity, what would you say about yourself? Take a minute to think. What would you say? Often, when someone asks us, "Who are you?" we respond by telling about our relationships. Well, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm a father, mother, a son, daughter. And then we might identify ourselves by telling what we do for a living. But even that distinction, you understand, identifies relationships that we have. An accountant, who you wouldn't normally think about as a relational job, still helps people allocate their financial resources. So I've told this story before, but one of my very most embarrassing moments in ministry was the day that I was speaking to the children about roles in life, R-O-L-E-S, and I asked the children, who knew me? Who am I? Now, I expected a few answers like, well, you're the minister, or you're a mother, and I prodded the children because there was silence, and I said, well, okay, I'm a wife and I'm a mother, but who else am I? There was a long silence. And then our son Ian, who was probably about 4 at the time, said in a very loud voice, "You're a big old fat lady." After, he is barely still alive. after that, I had to admit that anything else I had to say to the children was pointless. But my point is that our very identity as humans and everything we do is dependent upon our relationships with others. We define our very selves by how we are related and the impact we have on others. René Girard was recognized worldwide for his theory of human behavior and human culture. He is now the professor emeritus at Stanford University. But 50 years ago, Girard noticed a pattern of human behavior, that imitation is a fundamental element of our lives. He said that people don't fight over our differences, but rather we fight because we are similar and we want similar things. Humans, he postulated, come with a planning intelligence that sets us apart from all the other living things because we are free to choose. But with that freedom comes risk and uncertainty. We don't really know in advance what we want to choose, so we look to others for cues. He calls this mimetic theory. And imitation, he says, is the fundamental mechanism for human behavior. So at his baptism, Jesus receives his identity as the Son of God because of his relationship to God. You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. How powerful would it be for each of us and our children and our grandchildren and our friends and our family to truly believe in our hearts, at the core of our self-understanding, that we are God's beloved, in whom God is well pleased. How incredibly different would our world be if every person knew that they were God's own beloved, that they belonged. And to further it with Paul's story this morning in Christian life, how powerful would it be if we treated everyone we encountered as if they belonged? Refugees, immigrants, impoverished people, they too are God's own beloved child. Spiritual teacher Henry Nouwen wrote that the words God gave to Jesus at his baptism are the same words that God gives to everyone. The words, "You are my beloved," reveal the most intimate truth of all humanity, whether they belong to any particular tradition or not, he said. So this is the crux of what progressive Christianity can offer to others. You know, I often quip about why invite people to church if you can't scare them with hell? And progressive Christians don't want to do that. Very few of us want to go out into the world and say, hey, come visit my church, because, you know, if you don't have faith, you're going to go to hell. We don't want to say that. So what can we offer to others? Here is one thing, that each of us is beloved of God, that our identity is through relationships. I know who I am because I know whose I am, it has been said. We belong. Well, immediately after the story of Jesus' baptism in the gospel is the story of Jesus' temptation. And in that story, the season of Lent is based on that very story. Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days. Both the wilderness and the 40 days are metaphorical, I believe. And the wilderness represents those alone times when we question who we are, what our purpose is, what is the meaning of our life. You've all probably been in that wilderness at least one time. And then the biblical 40 days represents an indistinct period of testing and trial and questioning. And so there's a kind of repeat story in the Bible about these 40 days in the wilderness. Moses lived 40 years in Egypt as a slave, and then 40 years in the desert. He was on Mount Sinai for 40 days to receive what we call the Ten Commandments. Jonah, who didn't want to go to Nineveh and got swallowed by a whale, ended up in Nineveh, where God had sent him in the first place, and he rebelled. Guess how long he was there? 40 days, preaching about sin, because after being in the belly of a whale, he knew a lot about that. I've been in the belly of a whale. Have you all been in the belly of a whale? It's also called the wilderness, that time where everything around you stinks, and you're very unhappy, and you can't see beyond the belly of the whale and all of that blubber, and your life just isn't very good. Elijah spent 40 days without food or water. Jesus fasted 40 days and nights before his ministry began. So Lent is a 40-day process of self-discovery, and it may be wilderness time when we take a moment to feel alone and to ask deep questions about our lives. During the wilderness time, right after he was baptized, we're told that Jesus heard a voice challenging his relationship with God. Over and over again, Jesus heard, "Well, if you are the Son of God, if you are able, if you can, if." That's the hard work of Lenten wilderness. The ifs in our minds begin to make us doubt. And it's certainly easy to hear those voices that shout to each of us inside, "You're no good, you're ugly, you're worthless, you're a nobody." You hear those voices in your head periodically, and those voices do incredible harm to our spirits if we allow it. They tempt us into doubting our relationship with God and with those who love us unconditionally. They tempt us into relationships that are based on proving ourselves worthy of love instead of inherently blessed with God's love. Don't believe those voices. Nothing is more unchristian than having to prove that we are worthy of being loved. Instead, believe that God's voice says, "You are my beloved." You see, Lent isn't about giving stuff up. I did not give up chocolate, nor did I give up meat. The Christian journey isn't about being good enough to earn God's favor. It isn't about comparing ourselves to others or imitating others so that we fit in. Being good or bad is not what it's about. There is a time for self-evaluation, it's true, but not at the expense of self-worth, not at the expense of relationship and belonging. And so your prayer pebbles this week and this Lenten season, they are for the purpose of helping you lean into that truth that God's love for you is unconditional, that you are a beloved child of God in whom God finds great pleasure. So when you wander in the wilderness of life, I urge you to keep that spiritual blessedness as a major part of your self-identity and your relationships. Thanks be to God for that truth. You are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Our closing song is in your bulletin, and you're invited as you're able to stand and sing together. It is wonderful to have Helen Griffin back with us. She's still non-weight-bearing, but getting better, and we've continued our prayers for her. I noticed Mike came over to the organ, which I assume means that the postlude is going to be something we'll want to listen to and stay. If you are a visitor, you are welcome to stay and join us as we have a short congregational meeting about the foundation and all that it is doing, or the endowment, I'm sorry. If you are not wanting to be a part of that, feel free to go down to Fellowship Hall where there will be cookies, and then we'll have the music, a few songs from our college musicians. So go out into the world knowing that you are God's own beloved child, in whom God is well pleased. Amen.